Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
How we doing tonight, Faith Church? Doing well? Dom in the front row right here. Come on. It's good to be in St. Louis. And I like PD. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a preacher. I'm more of a teacher. But I don't know anybody in the world that doesn't like some verbal response when they're teaching. So use whatever you got. Amen, hallelujah, preach it, white boy. More of that. Get off the stage. Land the plane. Buckets, whatever you want to do to interact with me. It's so fun to be here, and it was a great day today with Lead Conference. How many of you are holdovers from Lead Conference? Yeah, you're getting more. Like your cup's full, but you're just gonna keep running over. Anybody first time? When I'm first time, I'm like, don't ask me. But a few first time people in the house. Anybody here for the first time? Well, I won't ever be back. So the good news is, if you don't like me, you don't have to worry about it, because I won't ever preach again. You get to look forward to other people communicating. Here's what I want to talk about tonight, if you're ready for this. What am I supposed to do with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? Anybody ever wrestle with this question? Yeah, me. I mean, from the time I was in middle school, what am I supposed to do with my life? Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you follow Jesus or not, this is a fundamental question that a lot of people are wrestling with in our world. What am I supposed to do with my life, Brad? Does it actually matter? In the kingdom of God, does it really matter, like, what I do Monday through Friday? In fact, tell your neighbor right now, if you're sitting next to somebody you want to talk to, maybe it's a nice, cute girl that you've been looking at, let's answer two things. One, what did you want to do when you were growing up? That's the first question. Take 10 seconds. Tell the person next to you, what did you want to be when you were growing up? What did you want to be? I know I'm hearing, like, NFL football player, the host of Jeopardy, Santa Claus, that doesn't count. What did you want to be when you were growing up? A lot of you, now here's the other question. Are you actually doing that now? No, a lot of no's, right? A lot of no's in the audience. Anybody still doing? Anybody still in the same lane? A few of you. Yeah, what are you doing, sir? Like, you're raising your hand proud and true. Like, what are you doing these days that you wanted to do when you were growing up? Oh, scientist and professor. Come on. Hey, scientist. Yeah. In fact, I mean, thank you for pointing that out, but most of us, we're kind of, like, mad at you. Right? Because we're like, wait, now that's not fair. Remember those kids growing up when you were in middle school or elementary or even high school, and you're like, what are you going to major in when you go to college? What do you want to do, like, when you, you know, get out of school? They're like, I've known forever that I was supposed to be a doctor. You know, I'm going to go be a nurse. Well, great for you. But most of us still, even to this day, are still wrestling with the question, what am I supposed to do with my life, right? Your purpose, your why, like, there's something that matters on this earth. So, as Pastor David mentioned, I wrote a book called Humble, Hungry, Hustle, H3. And the first part of that, humility, really starts with this idea, begins with the idea that self-discovery and self-awareness are a fundamental part of your humility. So, again, let me help you context-wise think about where we're going for the next 26 minutes. I want to help you be better as a leader, and also I want to help you in your Monday through Friday, your Monday through Saturday world, because most of us in the room, you're probably showing up at a job. Is that fair? Is that fair to assume? You might be, and you say, Brad, I'm retired. Well, you're still got an assignment in life. This is still something you have to lean into and think about. Am I still on point with where I'm going, with career, with vocation, with the time I spend? So, when I think about a leader, who's self-aware and has self-discovery in them, they've figured out some things. And here's the verse that I want you to write down or take with you. A lot of you know this verse, Ephesians 2, 9 and 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. Okay, good setup. I like that. Now we go to the next part of that. For we are what? We are his what?
Workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them. And my interpretation of this particular scripture is, yes, there is something for us as followers of Jesus in terms of following God and being on the path of our walk with Jesus. But there's also something for you when it comes to your career. There's actually something for you in your job. Really, Brad? Like, my job really matters? You're like, you don't know what I do. Because there's nothing that feels like it matters. No, it matters. Why? Because you, every one of us, every one of you are workmanship. You're crafted. You're crafted by God with specific things in you that are supposed to be lived out through you in the public square. This is good news, by the way. This is good news. Some of you, though, you're walking in, and I know where you are. You're like, I've been in a job for 5 years that I don't actually in any way feels like shows my workmanship. Well, I got some good news for you coming here in a second. Some of you are on point. You're like, I'm in the sweet spot. Some of you are still wrestling. You might be in college or a young adult. You're in your late teens, 20-somethings. Like, Brad, I have no clue. So we're all walking in with different contexts. But I, just as a reminder, again, you, we, us, I, we're all workmanship. God cares about what you do Tuesday at 3:30. Now, he also cares that you're here today with us in the house. But he cares about what you do on Thursday at 9:17 a.m. in the office, in the cube. Some of you have been in that cube for a long time, and you're like, if I could do anything else in life, Brad, please give me a pass out of there. That might be you tonight, but I want you to know there's good news because God cares about the way you steward that current season for you. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to give you just a little bit of a framework. This is just going to be a teaser that I hope will help you, and it revolves around this idea of identity, calling, and assignment. I'm going to break these down for you. Are you ready? Like, are you in with me? Give me an amen. Give me a that's good. Give me like something. This is going to, I hope it's going to help you. Those of you who are, if you're retired, this is going to help your grandkids. It's going to help your kids and your grandkids. Some of you, again, you got to figure it out. But let's go into these three buckets of the framework. Identity is first. And identity is simply this. It's who you are, okay? So let me paint context again. What am I supposed to do with my life? Now we're going to break down the game film a little bit. For those of you who are sports nerds like me, we're going to break the game film down. Identity, who you are. This is your drive, primarily, and it's unchanging, okay? So identity could be that you're a son or daughter, right? All of you are son or daughters, by the way. This is part of who you are. You might be a husband or wife. You might be a brother or sister. You might be an aunt or an uncle. That's identity. That's unchanging for you. It's who you are. Also, if you follow Jesus, if you are a disciple of Christ, then that's part of your identity now. That is the trueness of you at this point, the rest of your life, and into eternity. So that's an unchanging thing, right? This is all about the who. This is the foundation of your existence as a human. Workmanship. This is the easy part, though. I'm giving you the easy part first. When it starts to think about what am I supposed to do with my life? You might think about it this way. If you're wrestling with this idea, who before do? Who before do? I got to work on my who. I got to work on my identity before I think about even the why or the what. This is foundational. Son or daughter. Mother, father. Son of the king. Daughter of the king. We are his workmanship. You are an image bearer. That's another way to say it. By the way, at a dinner party, like this Thursday night at 7:30, And somebody, like, you meet somebody new at the dinner party, and they're like, hey, tell me about yourself. Well, you know, I'm an image bearer. Now, that's going to get weird fast. But what do we always say when we're at the dinner party? Where do we always go when we talk about, like, hey, tell me about yourself? What do we go to? We go to the what? We go to the work. We go to the, like, here's my job. And I get it. Like, we start there. But man, I want to get awkward with people. I want to get awkward on the plane or in the conversation or on the subway. Or now, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm an image bearer. Interesting. Tell me more. I'm a son or daughter of the king. Okay, now we're getting somewhere. Like, that's the who part of your existence. And again, following Jesus, let me remind you of this. Following Jesus is your primary identity. So that's foundational. That's the cement, the foundational concrete deep down, right? So we got that. That's identity. That's pretty simple. Now let's go to the next one, calling. Calling. Now we in the Christian world, we make this word weird sometimes. We get it all goofy, especially for those of us who are in the marketplace, because we hear language sometimes when we grew up in the church and we've been around Christians, and you're not like, what? I don't even know what that means. Like, I'm not even sure what you're talking about. I would describe it this way. Calling is the why you're here. It's the direction, and it actually can change. So if identity is the who framework, calling is the why. And let me say what calling is a little bit more specific. It's the riverbanks that now you can drive your boat in. It's not the boat, but it's the riverbanks now. It gives you direction in life. Is that tracking with you? Like, give me a head nod if that makes sense. So who is identity, but why, the purpose for your life, the sense of, like, the direction I'm headed is actually calling. Let me give you a definition just to help you think about this. I think this is a good definition of calling. God's personal invitation for me to work on his agenda using talents and passions I've been given in ways that are eternally significant. You use that, by the way. Like, you take that and, like, tell your friends, hey, I came up with a great definition of calling, and I want you to know this. Like, use it like it's yours. But that helps me. Okay, it's God's personal invitation for me to work on his agenda using talents and passions that are eternally significant. Let me say it a different way. Where your greatest strengths and deepest passions intersect, undergirded by God's unique overarching story on and in your life. The key thing with calling, Faith Church, the key thing with calling is it's got to take both strengths and passions and then combine them with God's story that's unfolding. Let me give you an example of where I was. High school, just outside of Tulsa, little town called Bristow, Oklahoma. I was an athlete. I was in choir. And a couple of other football players decided that we wanted to start a rap group. And there was two brothers, and they needed a beatboxer. And I said, I'm your cream in the middle. Our rap group was called Oreo. For real. Like, no, y'all think I'm kidding. Clean up the trash. Clean up the litter. Who you think we are? We're not your babysitter. Clean up the streets, or clean up the streets. Clean up the streets, or clean up the streets. Clean up. Okay, that's enough. This is a true story. We got called by our senator in the state of Oklahoma. This is like back in the early 90s. I'm giving you the Wayback Machine. Oreo was on the scene. We were doing like birthday parties. We were strong. I was Eminem before Eminem ever even showed up. We're like, we got to get a manager. We need like an agent. I mean, we're going places. And all we had done is, like, you know, the cafeteria menu for the local high school on the country station. We had like wrapped the cafeteria menu. So we're like, we're big. We're a big deal. So our senator calls us and says, hey, we've heard about Oreo. I'm like, I bet you have. Yeah. Says, hey, we got this thing we're doing at the state level, the state of Oklahoma. And we got this new initiative called Don't Lay That Trash on Oklahoma. You don't believe. Don't Lay That Trash in Oklahoma. And they said, we've heard about Oreo. Would you all be interested in writing the jingle that we would like to take statewide? And we were like, well, you know, you need to talk to our manager. And they're like, who your manager? Well, you're talking to him. So I'm a high school sophomore. My name's Brad. Yeah, we'd love to do that. So we show up at the state capitol, and now a joint session of the joint House and Senate in the state of Oklahoma, special presentation and resolution, Oreo. And they all did like what you got. They were like, what? They were all reading their newspapers, and then they were like, okay, well, I'm in now. We had a lot of passion about like, oh, we're going to make it in the music world. We had very little strength. You guys watch American Idol or The Voice or any of these reality shows? You watch these, you know, these wannabe singers show up. They're like, hey, tell us why you think you're the next American Idol. Well, I just feel like that I'm supposed to, you know, take my gift and express it into the world. Okay, well, let's hear you sing. And then you hear it, and you're like, no. No, you need to be behind the stage. You need to be back here at front of house with all the people that can't carry a tune. Strengths and passions have to both show up. Again, like when I was young, I wanted to be a football player in the NFL. Okay, I got to high school. I was slow. I was short. And I wasn't actually that talented. A lot of passion. Some of you were there. Your calling is found where the place where strengths and passions intersect. Man, if you can find that sweet spot, you might call it that, the sweet spot where the way God's wired you, the things that you do naturally, right, where they start to then cross over with passions, the things that break your heart, the things that make you cry, the things that stir up emotion in you. Man, if you can find the place where those two come together, that's where you find a sense of calling. Are you with me? Yeah. And some of you, again, some of you might be there, but most of you probably aren't. And it's okay. It's okay, because you still got an assignment, right? And that's the third part of the framework. Assignment is what you do. You could call it the destination, and it probably will change. In fact, there's new studies out right now that the average 25-year-old, anybody in the house 25 right now, anybody 25, a few of you, yeah. The average 25-year-old is going to have perhaps 20 to 25 different jobs over the course of their career. Their 40 or 50-year sort of arc in a career, a vocation, a job, a industry, a category, they're going to have 20 to 25. Now, if we misassign an assignment for calling, and hang with me here. If you end up putting your assignment, well, I'm an accountant, or even I'm a pastor, right? Or even like if you start putting that into your calling bucket, the why, then all of a sudden when you have 25 different changes over the course of your career, you have this calling crisis 25 times. Compared to, no, I got my calling figured out. I've got the direction I'm headed, the sense of purpose for my life. Now I've got all these different assignments that sort of reflect what my calling is. So I'll give you, let me use me as a guinea pig. My calling statement, my purpose statement is to influence influencers. That's my like runway, that's my riverbank that I can now swim in. That's broad, but I know what it means. And this is the thing, like what are you supposed to do with your life is personal. It's between you and God, and as soon as you start getting clarity for this, that's the goal, is to help you get clarity. So my calling statement, influence influencers. My assignments, I worked on a guest ranch. Not kidding. I rapped in high school, pre-Eminem, Oreo, here we go, clean up the trash. I rapped, and then I went to school and was a history major. Any of you there? And I wanted to be in politics, and I wanted to go to law school, and then I went and worked on this guest ranch, like literally 140, 50 horses in the middle of Colorado, taking people out on rides in the mountains. If I would have thought that my calling was to be a cowboy, man, I would have been rudely mistaken. By the way, you know what I did a lot? Anybody ever work on a ranch? Any farmers or ranchers in the house? A few of you. You know what you do a lot with 140 horses? You know what you do a lot of with 140 horses? At a five-diamond guest ranch with people paying a lot of money to come and vacation, you know what you do a lot of? By the way, great preparation for politics, by the way. I shoveled more horse in my 20s than most people ever should in their life. But I had a season. Then I went and worked with John Maxwell. Some of you have read a John Maxwell leadership book in your life. I spent a bunch of years working for John. Then we started something called Catalyst, and I led that. It was a conference movement. Now I'm doing this kind of stuff, and I have, you know, like a small little agency, you could call it. Those are four or five different seasons of assignment that should hopefully reflect my calling statement to influence influencers. That then gives evidence of my identity as a follower of Jesus, a husband, a father, a son and daughter, right? That starts to line up now. So when people ask me the question, hey, Brad, tell me about you, I'm comfortable. I'm content talking about like my sort of framework of life. And we got to get this right, because what am I supposed to do with my life has to have those three buckets. Identity, who you are, calling, why you're here, the direction and assignment, what you do. The sum of our collective seasons of assignment should add up to and equate to our calling that provides evidence of our truest identity. Now again, some of you may say, well, Brad, what about the church? Like, what about Faith Church? What about me being part of the house? And that's a yes statement, by the way. That's a yes statement. You are both vocationally probably in a job Monday through Friday, and you're also deeply invested and committed into the house, the framework of Faith Church. So people will say, well, where do I put like volunteering? Where do I put serving as part of a house, a local expression? Well, it's actually in all of those, but I would say it's actually an assignment. It's a seasonal assignment that you now are looking at and saying, I'm gonna treat this just like I would my 9-to-5 job. Identity, calling, and assignment. So, do we have that slide that shows all the buckets there together? Yeah. Who you are. You're an image bearer. Why you're here. Strengths, passions, where those intersect with God's unique story that undergirds that. And then assignment is what you do. It's your vocation. It's probably going to be something you get paid to do, perhaps, or you volunteer to do. These are the outlets for these three frameworks. You like that? Is it good? Is that helpful? Is it helping you, by the way? So let's move to more of a close, and let me give you a couple of practical things to think about, because I think this is going to help you. And by the way, there's a lot of your friends, and it may be you tonight. There's a lot of your friends, though, that are struggling with this question of what am I supposed to do with my life? They are wrestling. They're struggling with identity. They're struggling with the sense of, am I on purpose? They're struggling with a sense of, who do I belong to? They're struggling with a sense of, does any of this even matter? So if you'll walk through this with them, it will help them. Who you are, why you're here, what you do. And most people in America right now, team, most people that walk into a job on Monday, in fact, 85%, by the way, 85% of people who have a job would rather do anything else than what they currently do. I mean, you talk about an opportunity for us to actually help people, for us to help people. So let's think about this. How do I discover my calling and assignment? That might be the part that you're still wrestling with. Let me give you really quick a few things. Look back at your childhood. When you start to think about, how do I know what my calling is, Brad? How am I finding strengths and passions? How do I know the direction? Think about your childhood. There are certain things when you were a kid that you did automatically. You were automatically gravitated towards. Some of you loved math, by the way. I curse you in the name of Jesus. Any math nerds in the house? Yeah, my professor back here. Yeah, raising their hands high. I curse all of you. But we actually work for you. That's the thing. Like, we all work for the math nerds in high school. But look back at your childhood. What are the things you just loved to do without anybody telling you you had to? First grade for me, you know what happened? Day one, Miss Weaver's class, I learned everybody's name. 30 kids in the class. All the names I now know. You know what I'm doing day two, Dom? Day two. I'm doing trade deals in the cafeteria. Like, listen, I got a ding-dong, Joe. Joe, by the way, right? Yeah. You got a Twinkie. Now, let's go get Cheryl over there. She's got some Doritos. Now, we're going to do a trade, and I'm going to, like, get a chocolate shake from cafeteria lady out of this whole thing. Nobody told me that I needed to do that. That's wiring in me. That's God's unique design in me. My professor man is shaking his head, right? So look back at your childhood. What are the things you just were naturally drawn to? Start with who. This is another one. Start with who. Meaning this, if you're in your 20s especially, or 30s, you're early in your career, the best way for you to figure out the what, the assignment, is actually to not only work on your who, your identity, but actually find some other who's that will help you fast track to get to your what. I'm telling you, when I got around John Maxwell, as a leader, as a boss, as an author, as a speaker, things changed for me. I would have just said, John, I'll carry your bags. I will, like, grab your coffee. I'll do anything to be around you. So don't necessarily think about the major right now, right? Especially in your 20s. Think about who you're around. Number three is say yes. Again, if you're thinking about how to figure this out, if you're telling your grandkids at Christmas break, the thing we put so many pressure on young adults, by the way, so many times, is you got to figure it out. You're 18. You get one shot, one major. If you blow it, it's over. That's so unfair. So unfair. I have no clue. I'm 18 and I'm a knucklehead. How do I know what I'm supposed to do with my life? So the way many times God helps us determine and get to the sweet spot, and actually the assignment that's his best expression of the sweet spot, is we keep saying yes to things. And it's process of elimination. So over like the course of 20 yeses, we might find one of those that are the best yes. So if you're young, again, and starting out, you want to try this? Sure, let's try it out. Compared to, I've got to go find the one thing. God's only said there's one thing. I got to find the one thing. Boy, that's too much pressure. Number four, seek God's will. Obviously, prayer, discernment, the scriptures, and then pursue excellence. Pursue excellence. So that's the practical side of this. And let me wrap up with a couple of hopefully nuggets of encouragement for you, like Chick-fil-A biscuits of encouragement. The first is this: faithfulness is our eternal scorecard of success. Thank you. Boy, that's good news. Faithfulness is our eternal scorecard of success. Here's why this is good news. You may be stuck in something that you go, Brad, again, I can't stand my Monday through Friday. Just a slight shift of the dial, though. Faithfulness to this current season, we know it's true, Luke 16:10, he who is faithful in very little is what? Faithful also what? Yeah. So the way you might actually get to your next is by being faithful to your now. Faithful to your now actually will allow you to move to the next. So my encouragement to you, again, think about this framework. It's going to help you create some pathways. But you might be stuck, and if you are, go be faithful. You go crush it. You go crush it on Monday. Oh, I know. I've been in this job for 4 years. It just takes like everything in me to even show up. Okay, but go crush it. You go crush it. You go be the best spreadsheet creator that the spreadsheet industry has ever created. Oreo, let's go. Go be the best project manager that the project manager world has ever seen. Because what happens when we do that is all of a sudden people start saying, there's something different about you. Something different about you. Tell me more. Tell me more. Credibility is built, team. Credibility is built always by the way we carry the current stewardship of our assignment. That's what we have to do. You're not just clocking in. You're not just clocking in. You're stepping out with clear conviction of the calling on your life. And one more reminder, you are, just like faithfulness, you are a hope dealer. Brad, I'm in a terrible job. You know what? Walk in and crush it. Walk in and be faithful. But walk in and start dealing hope. We want people to say about you in your cube. Listen, I don't know what's going on with Carol down in cube 14, but I promise you, every time somebody goes down there, they walk out of there with hope, expectation. I don't know what they're smoking. It feels like a little bit of crack, but it might be Holy Spirit crack. Come on. Go crush it. Go figure it out. Go be the hope dealer. Bring energy. Bring positive energy. You are his workmanship. You are his workmanship. What am I supposed to do with my life? Identity, calling, assignment. Go be faithful. Go crush what's in front of you. And be a hope dealer. That's what I want to leave you with. Are you in?
Yeah.
Are you in? Monday's coming up. Monday's coming up. And we're walking back in to the public square, to schools, to office buildings, to environments. And we're going to change the temperature of those rooms because we walk in with clear purpose and assignment. It's been so amazing to be with you all.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.